All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin with a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Ches, a lot of very interesting halachas. We begin by thanking our sponsors, to thank Ed and Faith Wolf, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat, for dedicating all of the Shurim and Drashos this month in memory of Faith's mother, Nessa Bas Velvel, and Bracha Strimber, for dedicating all of the Shurim and Drashos this month in memory of her husband, Avram ben Kalman Eliezer Halivi. We also thank our anonymous sponsor for a week of learning, for dedicating the learning and the merit of Arafur Shlima for Kalman Leib ben Genendel MS and Nechama Tamar Bas Bracha Sara. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, they will have a Rafur together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And we thank Jack Bennett for dedicating the learning this week in memory of his grandfather, Chaim Fedorovsky, his first wife, Polina, their three children, and Jack's great-grandmother, Basia Fedorovsky, who were killed by the Nazis in Machshon V'Zichron and Babi Yar in 1941. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And I both say, with that, let us begin. So some fascinating Gemaras today. So we're picking up, like I said, today's Daf is Lamed Ches 38. We are picking up 37b, and we are picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. So some interesting cases, continuing a little bit again in... Sorry, let me just get to the place in Shulchan Aruch. Continuing to get more in halachos concerning dafka pas, concerning bread, and ultimately what constitutes bread, as we already began to see a little bit yesterday. So says the Gemara, Trukanin, Chayavim Bechalo. So we'll say Truknin, right? So what are Truknin? Truknin are Chayav and Chala. Now remember again, Chayav and Chala, Chala refers to the portion of the dough that you have to separate for the Kohen. So to say that something is Chayav and Chala is another way of saying what? That it is bread. So Truknin are Chayav and Chala. What are Truknin? We'll see that. V'chi Aser Rabin, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Truknin p'turim in Chala. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says that Truknin are pater from Chala. My Truknin, I'm Rabbi Kuba da'ara. Very interesting. Look at Rashi. Kuba da'ara. It's the wide lines in the bottom of Rashi. Kuba da'ara. Osa makum chalo bekira. Venosim besocho mayim vikemach. Kimosha osim be'ofas. So very interesting. I'll say what you do is, this is an interesting type of bread, where you go ahead and you create essentially like an oven inside of the ground. You pour, as you're going to see, you pour water and flour into it. And ultimately, again, you form a loaf of bread like that. We'll discuss what's unique about this in just a moment. So therefore, again, machlokus about trukanin, is it bread, is it not bread? So I'll tell you, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch discusses this case. And the reason I'm jumping right to the Shulchan Aruch is because the Shulchan Aruch actually gives a bit more definition around this truknin case. He says, truknin, dahainu sha'osin guma bekira, v'nosin ba kemach umayim uravin ba v'ne'ef hasham. So Shulchan Aruch paskins that this truknin, same idea, you're digging a hole in the ground, you're going ahead and pouring in the water and the flour, and it bakes into a loaf there. So the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins, mevarich alav borei mine mezonos, ubracha achos me'in shalosh. You make a mezonos and an alamichya. Now, what's unique about this case? So the Mishnah Berurah comments on this, and he says, the reason is, I am a magin Aram Shekasav, Sha'osin Belila Raka Ma'od. This is a loose batter. As we're going to begin to see, the definition ultimately of bread is something that is kneaded into a thicker dough. Anything that is a loose batter, by definition, does not have a bread, but rather again is some type of mezonos. So it's interesting. So the way this is happening over here is, if you can imagine, you have essentially like an in the ground oven. You're pouring in the batter. It sits there, and the heat itself kind of causes it to form into a mass of bread. But because again the batter is loose, halacha lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch is paskening that it is a mezonos. Next case, Amar Abaye. Trisa, p'turim min hachala. On the other hand, trisa is p'turim from hachala. I, what's trisa? My trisa. Ike da amri gavil mirsach. The ike da amri nama dehindika. Some say it's this gavil marsach. Rashi says over here, gavil marsach. Nostim kemach umayim bikli. Uboch shin bakaf. Veshovchin alakira kishahine sakes. So what's interesting? You go ahead and you put water and flour in a utensil. And the boss is interesting. So this is also the loose batter. But what this is, you know, it almost sounds like a pancake. You're pouring it like on a griddle, on a heated surface, and it bakes like that. So others say it's nama dehindika, which literally means Indian bread. Batzek she'ofen b'shipud, u'moshchen also tamid b'shemen, obemei beitzim b'shemen. So it's interesting, you would put dough on a spit, roast it or bake it, I guess, on an open fire, and you would baste it, you would coat it with oil or eggs, shemen, obemei beitzim b'shemen. So the Shulchan Aruch comments on this also, and the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. It's all in the same sif. This is Simen Kuf Samiches Sif Tes Vav. So the Shulchan Aruch writes over here, Tarisa, Dahanu Shalokhin Kemachu Maimor Umarvin Oso Vishofkin Osan Alakira Vumispashet Venefa. So we'll say Tarisa, right, is even a different issue, because not only is it a loose batter, but it also does not have what's called tura dinama. It doesn't have the appearance of bread. Instead, again, it just kind of forms into a flat pancake. Ein alav toras lechem, ve'ein mevarchin alav ela borei minei mezonos u'bracha achas mein shalosh. So we can see something very interesting. If something has a loose batter, it's not bread. If it doesn't have the appearance of bread, it's not bread. What about this Indian bread? Nama dehindika. So the Shulchan Aruch over here says, "Vehu lechem she'ofin b'shipud, u'moshchen osa b'shemen u'bam b'etzim mechin lechem asa l'kuzach." So we'll see that in just a second. So we're going to see that this nama hindika, also because it's not baked like regular bread, it's put on a spit, and essentially again it's covered with either eggs or oil, also doesn't have the status of bread. Similarly, v'ikad amri lechem ha'asri l'kuzach. If you have bread that is made for kusach, remember again, kusach was this Babylonian dip that they used to eat, made out of moldy bread and curdled milk. Exactly. We're going to have some next Sunday, Mir Sashem. So lechem aser the kusach, tani Rabbi Chiya, lechem aser the kusach, pater min echalah. Rabbi Chiya says, it's pater from chalah. V'ha tanya chayiv b'chalah. Ay, boy, I've elsewhere that you chayiv in chalah. Omer. So we'll say, interestingly enough, bread made for kusach depends. Sometimes asa on top of lamed ches, asa on ke'avin, if you make it thick, chayovin, then ultimately again it's chayiv in challah. The reason for that, Shabbos says, if you make it thick, it's regular bread. Kelimudin, however, if you make it thin, then p'turin. Ultimately again it's pata. Shabbos, so you begin to see a number of different important halachas when it comes to the determination regarding bread, which is the Shulchan Aruch understands really in three different ways. Number one, bali lav. Anything that has a loose batter, by definition, is not called bread. Not called bread. Number two, we already saw this in yesterday's daf, but this torisa dinama, having the appearance of bread. It must look like bread. And it also appears that it must be baked like bread. Yeah. So being baked like bread means in some type of oven-like item, as opposed to, let's say, on a spit, being basted with liquid. So halacha l'maisa, if you have a dough that is like any of these different types of breads, right? The one, as we just mentioned before, then halacha l'maisa, it has the status of a mezonos and not the status of bread. Now, of course, we will see when it comes to mezonos, if you are koveya seuda, right? If you go ahead and you establish a meal around a mezonos type item, it may transform into bread in that you may be required to make a hamotzi and bench afterwards, but that remains to be seen later on. Good. Amalei by Rav Yosef. Hai kuba da'ara, mai mevarchin iluya. This kuba da'ara, what bracha do you make on it? Supposed to remember again, the kuba da'ara is the case that we mentioned before. This is where you're taking the loose batter. I got a little bit ahead of ourselves in the Shulchan Aruch, but you take the loose batter, you're pouring it like into a cavity in the ground, and the loose batter is baking in that cavity. What bracha do you make on it? Amalei, mi savris namahu. Do you hold that this kuba da'ara, do you think that it's bread? It's not bread. Guvla ba'almahu. Ultimately, it's a batter. It's a batter, and therefore umevarchin iluya borei mine mezonos. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, because it's a batter, all you do is make a mezonos on it. Marzutra kava suudase iluya ubarech iluya hamotzi lechem min haaretz v'shalosh brachos. So marzutra would go ahead and make a meal around this kuba da'ara, and even though technically speaking it's mezonos, because he was koveya suud around it, therefore what? He would make a hamotzi and bench arma baravashi va'adam yotzei bahen yedei chavaso bepesach. But halacha l'maisa, a person could go ahead and use it for matzah, could fulfill his obligation for matzah. My time on that. But see, interesting enough, what's the reason for that? lechem oni karinon bay, because since it's a compromised bread, therefore halacha lemaaseh satisfies the criteria of lechem oni. Remember again, by Pesach, we have to eat not just simply matzah, but something that conforms to the criteria of poor man's bread. So if Ashi felt that this type of bread was compromised to begin with, and therefore again, assuming that you did not allow it to become chametz, satisfies the criteria of lechem oni. Interesting. Varma bravashi. Hai dufsha de tamir. We'll say, so now another interesting idea. So just to understand, we're going to come back to some of these halachos concerning bread, but this loose batter is very important for us. This idea ultimately, again, so we'll say there's another piece to this, which the Gemara here doesn't quote. Actually, I'm sorry, Rashi quoted, which I neglected to quote on the bottom of Lamed Zayin with Beis, this bread that's made for kusach. The other interesting part about this, the other reason why it's not considered to be bread, Rashi points out, is because it's made in the sun. Interesting enough, it's not baked in an oven with fire, but rather it's baked in the sun. So you begin to see that when, in order to satisfy a halachic criteria for bread, not only does it have to do with the ingredients, and let's say again, as we've seen, the consistency of the batter, quote unquote, but also the manner in which the bread is baked. So this is the common denominator between the Indian bread and the kusach bread. The Indian bread is put on a spit and roasted like that, or baked like that. The kusach bread, baked in the sun. So you see that from a halachic perspective, it's very interesting that the definition of bread is not just simply an end result, but in order to meet the halachic criteria of bread, every stage of the process, from the batter to the baking, must conform to certain criteria. It's pretty amazing. So good. What's the Gemara goes weiter? So Amar Mar Bravashi, Hai Duvsha de Tamri. So we'll see now an interesting case. Duvsha de Tamri means the honey of dates, right? The honey that comes out of dates. So Mevarchin Iluya Shakol Niyabidvaro. What bracha do you make on date honey? You make Shakol Niyabidvaro. Shakol. My time, what's the reason? Zeya ba'almuhu. Because I will say, ultimately, the honey is just considered to be the sweat of the dates. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Zeya ba'almuhu. Ve'eno pri. Meaning the honey does not have the identity of a pri. The honey is not considered to be the fruit. The honey is simply, as we just said before, the sweat of the fruit. Ve'eno pri. Levarich alav borei peri ha'etz. So remember again, the only thing you'll make a pre is on a sign that's mamish considered to be part of the pre, part of the fruit. The honey itself is not part of the fruit, and therefore just gets the shahakol. So the Gemara says, Kiman, ki ay tana. Bose, whose opinion does this reflect? It reflects the opinion of the following tana. Disnan, dvash tmarim, v'yayin tapuchim, v'chomet sifonios. So if you have the honey that comes out of dates, wine, right, or juice, that comes out of apples, and chomet sifonios. Sophonios, I will say, as we're going to see, are underdeveloped grapes. If you look at Rashi, so chomes sophonios, sofe anavim, shein misbashlim olamis, va'osim mehen chomes. Apparently, there are some grapes that never develop. So what do you do with the grapes that will never develop? You obviously can't use them for wine, but you can use them for vinegar, right? So therefore, again, so you have the honey that comes from dates, the wine, or the juice that comes from apples, and the vinegar that comes from the sifonios, ushar me peros shel truma. Or for that matter, again, any juices that comes out of fruit, right? We'll say here the Gemara is talking about legabit truma, any fruits that are truma. So we'll say, what's the halacha if you drink or consume these items that come out of the fruit of truma? Rabbi Eliezer mechayiv keren v'chomesh. Rabbi Eliezer says you'll be chayiv keren, which is the principle for consuming truma, and chomesh. Remember again, chomesh is the penalty fifth that you have to pay for partaking of truma. Remember again, this is assuming that what? I am a non-kohen. Truma is the portion of the kohen. I, a non-kohen, am not permitted to eat truma. So generally, if you go ahead and you consume truma, you're chayiv to pay the principle plus the additional penalty fifth. What the Gemara is discussing over here is as follows. Rabbi Eliezer says, therefore, again, if you go ahead and you consume honey that comes from the dates of truma, the wine, so to speak, that comes from the apples of truma, Or again, the vinegar that comes from the grapes of Truma. Rabbi Eliezer says, you've illegally consumed Truma, you have to pay the Karen and the Chomesh. Rabbi Yeshua Poter, Rabbi Yeshua on the other hand says that you are Poter. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Mechayiv Karen v'Chomesh, L'shosim and v'shogeg. Rabbi Yeshua Poter, Dezeya ba'amahu, ve'ein shem Truma chal alav. So we'll say, listen to this. This is actually quite fascinating. So Rabbi Yeshua says that in all of these cases, you're Poter. Why? Because the items that came, so for example, the honey doesn't have the status of Truma. The wine that comes from the apple doesn't have the status of Truma. The vinegar from the grapes doesn't have the status of Truma. Why? Look at Rashi. Ve'ein lecha priyanita lamashke, ela zesim va'anavim bilbad. So I'll say, interestingly enough, because Rabbi Yeshua will say that halacha lamaisa, there are only two items whose juices have the same status as the pri itself. And that is what? Grapes and olives. Grapes and olives, right? Grape juice, olive oil, that has the status of the pri. But everything else does not have the status of the pri, and therefore if you consume it, you have not. It's not considered as if you have consumed truma illegally. Quite amazing. Amalei humir abana l'rava. Trima mahu. What's the halacha concerning trima? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Trima Mahu, Mam Mavarchan Alav. What bracha do you make on Trima? So the Shem Trima called Davar Akotosh Ktsas Ve'inam Urosach. So we're going to see Trima is not really the particular name of a food. Rather, Trima is a state. Trima refers to something that is crushed, right? Or crushed a little bit, but not totally changed state. So its original state, or its original, the original item, is still somewhat recognizable. It's just crushed a bit. So the Gemara says, So one of the Rabbana asked the Rava, Trima Mahu, what is the bracha that you make on an item that is Trima? Lo hava adaite de Rava, my kamarle. Rava wasn't sure what the person was talking about. In other words, Rava wasn't sure what Trima is. So the Gemara says, Yosef Ravina kamei de Rava. So Ravina was sitting before Rava and overheard the conversation. Amarle, and Ravina said to this individual who was asking the question, Dishumshemika amrit, o dekortemika amrit. Are you talking about like crushed sesame? Or literally, are you talking about sesame or kortemi? Kortemi is saffron. It's actually quite interesting. If you look at Rashi, kortemi. So remember, people would crush sesame to get the oil out, to get sesame oil. What about saffron? This is actually interesting. Kortami Rashi says, Karkum shekotshim osa venostin boyayin vishosin. So apparently, what they used to do is they would go ahead and crush saffron and add it into wine as an additive, right? So it's expensive wine, by the way. Right? Saffron is very expensive. Sadahachi vahachi. So I will say, so now Rava overhears the conversation and he realizes from the context what kortami means. So he realized kortami means something that is crushed. Adahachi vahachi, aske Rava ledaite. So while this is going on, Rava realized what they were talking about. Amarle chashilta vadei kamrit. Look at Rashi. Amarle Rava chashilta kamrit, mitochtir ravina hevin Rava es ha-sheila. Amarle davar ma'och sha'altani, kimo be'i chashilta. Also, Rava says, oh, you're asking about the status of something that is crushed. So what's the halacha if you take an item and you crush it up, but you crush it not beyond recognition. So I could still recognize what it was, but it's no longer in its former intact form. So the Gemara says, "Va'ad karan milsan." I remember that which we said. Hada amar Ravasi, and our Rava said, "Now they know what you're talking about." I remember that which Ravasi said. Hay tamri shal truma mutar lasos mehen trima va'asr lasos mehen shechar. It's very interesting. Ravasi said that if you take dates of truma, I also remember again a little bit of background to this. The halacha is, you are not permitted to do something that would cause a loss to Truma items. So in other words, Truma belongs to the Kohen to eat, but the Kohen can only consume the Truma items in a way that doesn't cause a loss of the item. Let me explain what that means. So Ravasi said, you can make dates of Truma into Trima, which means what? If the Kohen decides that he wants to go ahead and let's say crush the dates a little bit, that's fine. Why is that fine? Because halacha lemaisa, the entire mass of the date is still there, just in changed form. What can't the Kohen do? The Kohen can't take dates of Truma and make beer from it. He can't make date beer from dates of Truma. Why not? Because also everyone knows when you make date beer, what happens? Right? So there's elements of the date that's not used. So that you can't do. That you can't do. Now that Rava knows what they're talking about, so ultimately, again, he remembers what she was. V'hilchasa, tamri vav dinu trima. They're supposed to remember again. The shaila that was asked of Rava was what? Well, remember was what? What is the bracha on trima? Which Rabbos say is an interesting bracha. What the question is if something is in a changed state, but still recognizable as to what it is, like trima, I take the date, just take a date. I take the date, I crush the grape, I crush the date. Again, not beyond recognition, it's just a bit crushed, so what's its status for a bracha? So now Rava remembers the whole discussion by truma, and therefore v'hilchasa, tamri v'abdinu trima, mevarchin ilaihu barei priya eitz. If you have dates, and you made the dates into trima, i.e. you crushed the dates, what's the halacha? You make a brei priya eitz. My time, what's the reason? B'milsayu kaimi kidimei kara. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, since the dates are still somewhat recognizable, if from what they are, it's still recognizable as a date, therefore retains its identity, and therefore it gets the recha brei priya eitz. So also, we're going to discuss this in greater depth, because this discussion in general about how long does an item retain its original bracha for once its state changes, is going to be an interesting sugya. But this we'll begin to see is that if you have an item that was whole and is still whole, but is crushed or a bit mashed, as long as it's some semblance of its original identity is still recognizable, it retains its original bracha. Shesisa, we'll say fascinating sugya of shesisa. So what's the halacha when it comes to shesisa? Look at Rashi. What shesisa? So Rashi says, "Machal asu mekemach klayos shenisyav shubatanur bochashi balam lachim." So we'll say. So interestingly enough, this was a dish that was made from sweetened wheat kernels. How do you get sweetened wheat kernels? So apparently, if you roast the kernels while they're still moist, I guess it locks in some element of sweetness. So it will say, so you would take the kernels, always mixing it with some type of oil, flour, and making some type of dish out of this. So shesisa, what is the bracha on shesisa? Rav Amar, shakol nia bedvaro. Rav says you make a shakol. Shmuel Amar, borei mine mezonos. You make a mezonos. Amar Rav Chista, velo pligi, they're not arguing. Haba ava, ha biraka. So I'll say, they're not arguing. They're talking about two different types of shesisas, right? One is a thicker shesisa, right? And one is a looser, right? A thicker consistency or a thicker batter. One is looser. So the Gemara says, ava la'achila avdila. So we'll say, if somebody was making a thicker shesisa, that was made for consumption purposes, achila purposes. Raka l'refua ka'avdila. Interestingly enough, a loose shesisa was used for what? For rafua purposes, for medicinal purposes. Very interesting. Very interesting. So the Gemara says, Masir Rav Yosef, v'shavin shebochashin esa shasus b'shabis, v'shosim zesum ha-misri. Everyone agrees, shebochashin, that you can go ahead and mix. You can mix the shesisa on Shabbos, and you could drink zesum hamitzri. So zesum hamitzri is some type of like Egyptian beer that apparently again had medicinal purpose, had medicinal qualities as well. So if you're going to tell me that shesisa can be used for refuah b'Shabbos mishari, ultimately again is this permitted on Shabbos? Remember again we already spoke about that halacha l'maisa. You are not permitted to engage in forms of medicinal healing on Shabbos. Now remember, this will be a sugya on Shabbos that we will get to. Exactly what the scope of this is. What are you not allowed to do? Allowed to do on Shabbos. Actually, Emirat Hashem, this is going to be the topic of today's lunch and learn about Refu on Shabbos, because it's already the third time we're mentioning it here. So Emirat Hashem, 12:15 today, we'll at least begin to speak a little bit about this. From the Abayis. Abayis says, Va'at lo tizbara? Do you not agree with this? V'hatnan. We learned, Kala ochlin adam ochal Refu Shabbos. We'll say in general, a person is permitted to go ahead and eat all types of food on Shabbos, even if those foods are expressly being consumed for medicinal purposes. The Chomashkin Shosa. So also remember again, this is a very important halacha. While it is true that you are not permitted to engage in forms of refuah on Shabbos, what you are allowed to do is what? You are allowed to eat. Always allowed to eat. Right? I will say you're allowed to eat. Halacha l'maisa, even if the item that you're eating is expressly being consumed for medicinal purposes, as long as it has the appearance of a normative act of eating, it is permitted even on Shabbos. Even if for argument's sake it is used for refuah, when it's of a looser consistency, that's fine. Because as long as it looks like a normative act of consumption, it's permitted even on Shabbos. As long as, again, it has the appearance as a normative act of consumption, therefore halacha lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, it is permitted even on Shabbos. So the words lishnachina elama is lecholamimar gavra laachila kamachavin urefua memela kahavya hachin ami laachila kamachavin verefua memela kahavya. So we'll say ultimately again halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, since again the person's kavana is for achila. By the way, even if his kavana, even if his ultimate kavana is for refua, but since the action that he's engaging in just has the appearance of a normal act of consumption, even if the refua comes about, it does not bother us. So the Gemara says, "Utzricha de Rav Shmuel." Now I need Rav and Shmuel's statement. I will say now, what is this talking about? Take a look at Rashi. Utzricha de Rav Shmuel. Ba'af agav detanya le'inyan Shabbos to ochel hu. It's terech lemeimar detan bracha. Now, boss, remember again. Remember how this whole thing started. So this started with a machlokis Rav and Shmuel about the bracha you make on shesisa. Right? Rav said you make a shahakol. Shmuel said you make a mazonos. Now Rav Chista wanted to say they're not really arguing. Right? They're talking about two different types of shesisas. So Rav says you make a shahakol on a loose batter shesisa, versus Shmuel who says that you make a mazonos on a thicker shesisa. They're not really arguing. Rav says, interestingly enough, the Gemara then goes ahead and explains the thicker batter shesisa is achila, the looser batter shesisa is refuah. So the Gemara says, "Utsrichad Rav Shmuel, I need Rav and Shmuel to teach me that halacha lemaisa we make a bracha on shesisa. Why? Watch this. Deime hai, because ultimately, again, if we just learn from this case, havamina laachila kamachavin or refuah kahavia." Aval hacha kevin de lechatchila de lerefuah kamachavin lo levarich iluya klal. So you must say, because without Rav and Shmuel, I would have thought as follows: when do you make a bracha on shesisa? Only when your intention is to eat, and the refuah kind of is just a what's the right word, a side effect or a byproduct of your consumption. But lamaisa, I would have thought that if your kavana is for refuah, maybe you don't make a bracha at all. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Kashulan, no, that since ultimately, again, you have hana." We spoke about this a little bit last week, that even if your express intention is for refuah, but if there is hana, and I will say hana is really defined in the symbol, taste benefit, it tastes good, right? Even if my express kavana is not to eat, but ultimately for medicinal purposes, you still make a bracha. That's the chiddush over here. Good. So let's say now we go back to shalapas omer hamotzi. So remember again, the Mishnah said on bread, we make hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. So let's say a very interesting gemara. Tanu rabbanan, mahu omer. So let's say there's a fasting machlokes over here, or not machlokes, discussion about the proper wording of the bracha. Mahu omer, hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. So we'll say, what is the proper wording for the bracha? Is it hamotzi, he who brings forth bread from the earth? Rabbi Nechemya Omer, motzi lechem min ha'aretz. Rabbi Nechemya says, no, the lashon, actually the proper wording of the bracha is motzi. Motzi, right? Bring forth bread from the earth. So watch this. Amar Rava, bimotzi kuli ama lo pligi da'apik masha. So we'll say, remember again, the goal of the wording of the bracha is that what? What tense should it be in? What tense? Right? Past. Right? Past. Because remember, obviously, I'm eating the bread. Right? I'm eating the bread. So which means the bread has been brought forth from the earth. So the goal is that it should be past tense. So Rava says, Bemotzi kuli amalo pligi da'apik mashma. Everyone agrees that the word motzi is past tense. Right? Motzi lechem min ha'aretz, God who has brought forth bread from the earth. Meaning he's done it already. So v'chsev kel motzi mitzrayim. Key plig. You're supposed to see where this machlok is from. It's very interesting. The hamotzi. So the shayla is, what tense is hamotzi? Rabbanan savri hamotzi da'apik mashma. So the Rabbanan hold that hamotzi is past tense. In other words, literally, who has taken out past tense. Tichsev hamotzi lochem mayim yitzorach alamish. As the pasuk says in Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately again recounting the incredible miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has performed, God who has brought forth water from you from the rock. Rabbi Nechemya savar, hamotzi dimapik mashma. Rabbi Nechemya says hamotzi means will bring, future tense, Shene'emar, Hamotzi Eschem, Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Rebbe, remember again, in Parshas Bo, where Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking future tense, God will be the one who will take you out from underneath the burdens of Egypt. Now, if Hamotzi means future tense, then that is not the right word for the bracha. So the Rabbanon will say, V'Rabbanon, Hahu Hachi Kamalu HaKushabrichu Yisrael. No, this is what a Kashmach is saying to Kal Yisrael. Kad Mafik Naluchu, when I bring you out of Egypt, Avid Naluchu Milsa, I will do something for you. Kihechi Diyedaisu Da'anohu Da'af Kidas Yaschom Mitzrayim. You will know that I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. Tichsev, Diyedatem Kiani Hashem Lokechem Hamotzi. You will know that I am God who has brought you out. So Rabbanon just have a different way of dashing that pasuk. So Rabbanon says, so here's what we know. What we know is everyone is good with the lashon of motzi, right? Motzi is past tense. The machlokes is hamotzi. Is hamotzi past tense or is hamotzi future tense? So Rabbanon, listen to this interesting story. Mishtapchin le Rabbanon the Rabbi Zeira. Mishtapchin le Rabbi Zeira. Bar Rav Zevid Achud Rav Shimon Bar Rav Zevid Dadam Gadol. Now, the way to read this line is as follows: the rabbis praised Rabbi Zeira, and they were praising Rabbi Zeira to another individual who is known in this Gemara as Bar Rav Zevid, the brother of Rabbi Shimon Bar Rav Zevid. So they were praising Rabbi Zeira to this other individual Bar Rav Zevid, and they were telling this individual Bar Rav Zevid, Rabbi Zeira is a great man. So Bar Rav Zevid said, Ubaki Brachas, and Rabbi Zeira, Mami, she's an expert in brachas. Amar lahem, so Bar Rav Zevid said, you know what? Kishiyavu yetchem lihaviyu elai, haviyu liyadi. So you know what? Do me a favor. When Rabbi Zeira comes to town next, bring him by. Right, bring him by. Let me check this guy out. Right, bring him by. Let me see if he's as great as you claim that he is. So we'll say, so what happens? Zin mechada, ekla legabe. So one time, Rabbi Zeira came to town, and the other rabbis brought him by this other sage, Bar Rav Zevid. So afiku le rifta. So this individual Bar Rav Zevid brought Rabbi Zeira a loaf of bread, and what Rabbi Zeira made a bracha. What was the bracha? Va'amar motzi. He said motzi lechem min ha'aretz. So this Bar Rav Zevid was very unimpressed. Amar zeu she'omer lav da'adam gadolhu ubaki bebrachasu. This is the guy you told me is so great and is so proficient in brachas. Bishlama I amrit hamotzi. If Rabbi Zeira would have said hamotzi amadeis. Then I would have been impressed, right? Because Hamotzi, then he would have taught me two things. Number one, he would have taught me through his actions that Hamotzi is what? Past tense. And that the halacha follows the Rabbanon. However, Ela de Amar Motzi, Maika Mashmalan. No big deal to say Motzi. Why is it no big deal to say Motzi? Everyone agrees that Motzi is past tense. So the Gemara says, V'ihu, so why did Rabbi Zeira make Motzi? So ultimately, it was like, why did Rabbi Zeira say motzi? What was he trying to do? Sidestep the machlokes. So Rabbi said, this is really very interesting, by the way. So what Bar Rav Zevid was saying is, see, makes sense, Rabbi Zeira. What is Rabbi Zeira trying to do? I want to stay out of the fray, right? I'm not interested in getting into machlokes. So Rabbi said, interesting, you see something fascinating. There is a time to avoid machlokes, and there are times in life when you have to take a stand. You see, some people go through life just trying to be on everyone's good side. Right? I want to be good with everyone. I don't want to make waves. Right? There's no reason to rock the boat. Which is an incredible life hashkafa in many areas. Except sometimes in life, you have to take a stand. Right? Sometimes if your goal is to make everyone happy and to please everyone, then you stand for nothing. At some point in time, you have to take a stand. At some point in time, you have to cultivate an identity. At some point in time, it has to be clear who you are, and what you represent. So interestingly enough, Bar Rav Zevid was upset at Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira, it's not your job to avoid machlokes. It's your job ultimately to bring clarity where there is a point of confusion. And here you're going ahead and you're making motzi. I just wasted a perfectly good loaf of bread, right, on this guy. Right here I gave you my bread because I was hoping that I would learn something from you. And what did you do? All you did was sidestep machlokes. So there is a time to sidestep machlokes, there's a time to sidestep dispute, and there's also a time to take a stand, to draw a line, and ultimately, again, to be clear in what it is that you represent and what you believe in and what you stand for. All of us over a loaf of bread, right? V'hilchasa Hamotzi, what is the halacha? All right, this is a bit anticlimactic. V'hilchasa Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, right? And I will say, what's the halacha? The halacha is the bracha we make is Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Right, that's the verbiage of the bracha. We say, Dekaimelon Kirabanon, the Amr the Apik Mashman. I will say, obviously, the fact that we make Hamotzi indicates to us what? That when the definition, the way we understand that word Hamotzi is past tense, right? He who has brought out past tense. Good. Vali Yirakoson, we're supposed to remember again. So this is actually very interesting. So the Mishnah said, on Yirakoson, vegetables, what bracha do we say? Barei Pri Adama. Now, what's interesting, this is fascinating. The Gemara is picking up on the juxtaposition also. The fact that we go from bread to vegetables, which of course, I will say, if you think about it, is not normally the progression you would think. Remember, so great, such great Gemara, so incredible. So let's remember again, the way the Mishnah went is we went from peros, from fruit of the tree, right, to wine. Now the truth is that's a natural progression. Why is that natural progression? Because again, grapes grow on a tree. We then went ultimately again, peros ha'aretz, things that grow from the ground. Then we went to bread, and then ultimately we went to vegetables. So that's interesting. Right, the fact that we went from fruits that grow from the ground to bread to vegetables, that we put vegetables after bread. So the Gemara notes this, and this is really fascinating. Really fascinating. Va'ali yirakos omer, katani yirakos dumya depas. Wow. So we'll say, the Mishnah makes an amazing observation. The reason why vegetables are placed next to bread is why? Because halacha lemaisa, we're comparing vegetables to bread. How so? Ma pas shenishtanos al yedei ha'ar, af yirakos nami shenishtano al yedei ha'ar. Because just like bread only becomes bread because it's baked with fire, so too, even if you have vegetables that you cooked with fire, they still retain their blessing of borei pri adama. So even if you cook vegetables, still retain their identity as vegetables and therefore are still borei pri adama. Which is fascinating. Why is this fascinating? Because halacha lemaisa, we've spent so much time talking about the idea that if you change the state of something, sometimes its bracha changes as well. Kamash malan, that vegetables are just like bread. Just like bread changes through fire and it gets a hamotzi, so too, even if vegetables change through fire, they ultimately retain their blessing as well. Amr Abinai, Moshed Abai, Zosomaras, Shlokos, Mevarchen, Alein, Brei Pri Adama. This teaches us, shlakos are cooked vegetables. You go out and you recite Brei Pri Adama Mimai, Midiktani Yirakos Dumi Depas. So we'll say pretty incredible. So even if you cook vegetables, halacha lemaisa, they still retain their identity and therefore still get the Brei Pri Adama. So let's analyze this halacha a bit. Darash Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu, Umanu Rav. So we'll say, so Rav Chista Darash, the name of Rabbeinu, of our Rebbe, who are we talking about? Rav. Shlakos, Mevarchan Alein, Brei Pri Adama, cooked vegetables, you still make a Brei Pri Adama on them. But yet the rabbis who came from Eretz Yisrael, Umanu, who is that Ula? Mishmid Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shlokos Mevarchin Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. Wow. So the rabbis who came from Eretz Yisrael, they said, cook vegetables, you make a shakol. Vani Omer. So remember again, this is Rav Chista. So now we've got Rav saying, cook vegetables, you make a Brei Pri Adama. The rabbis who came from Eretz Yisrael, what are they saying? Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. And Rav Chista says, I want to say they're actually not arguing. They're actually not arguing. And what are they saying? Va'amar va'ani omer, kol shetchilasa brei pri adama, shlako shakol niyeh bidvaro. V'chol shetchilasa shakol niyeh bidvaro, shlako brei pri adama. So we'll say this is actually quite fascinating. So Rav Chista says, and I think the distinction is as follows. We'll translate the words literally, they will understand what it means. Anything that begins as a brei pri adama, if you cook it, gets a shahakol. And anything that begins as a shahakol, if you cook it, you get a Brei Pri Adama. And I was saying what Rav Chista says, different vegetables are consumed different ways. There are some vegetables that are meant to be consumed raw. So if a vegetable is meant to be consumed raw, in its raw state, it gets a Brei Pri Adama. If you cook it, you've now really compromised the quote-unquote edible state, and therefore what? It'll get a shahakol. It'll get a shahakol. On the other hand, there are certain vegetables that are only meant to be consumed cooked. So if you eat them in their raw state, it'll get a shahakol. And if you cook it, it will get its ha'adama. So if Chista therefore wants to posit that in fact, Rav and the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael are actually not arguing at all. They're just actually talking about different types of vegetables. So Bishlamos, let's analyze. Bishlamos, kol she'tchilas ha'shahakol nia b'dvaro shalak abri pi adama. So I understand the category of vegetables that are not supposed to be consumed raw, that are really only consumed cooked. See, if you eat it raw, it's technically speaking still edible raw, but if you eat it raw, it only gets a shahakol. It's only once you cook it, where it's being eaten really in its true form, that it gets adama. What are examples of that? Meshkachas la, bikarba, bosei karba is cabbage, silka are beets, kra. Bosei kra is sometimes translated as pumpkins or gourds. Pumpkins or gourds. So these are examples of items that people did not eat raw, and they have to understand something. A lot of these halachas will also be societal, right? Depending on what society eats. But at least Bizman and Gemara, no one is interesting. People weren't eating raw cabbage. Very interesting, right? So they weren't eating raw cabbage, they weren't eating raw beets, and they weren't eating raw pumpkin slash gourds. So therefore, again, if you were to eat it raw, it's edible, but it's not the normal consumable state. They have to make a shakal if you eat it raw. If you cook it, which is its desired state, you'll make adama. The Gemara says, what's an example of a vegetable that halacha lemaisa that gets a brei pri adama in its raw state? What's an example of a vegetable that gets its bracha in its raw state but doesn't get a hadama, only a shakal in its cooked state? Hechi mishkachas la. This is very interesting. Mishkachas la betumi vekarsi. The example would be with garlic and leeks. Garlic and leeks. So apparently, again, garlic and leeks were more normally consumed in a raw state, not in a cooked state. Therefore, in the raw state, ultimately, again, it will get a hadama, and in the cooked state, will only get the shahakal. Very interesting. So we'll say, so this is an incredibly important yisod. So any vegetable you have that halacha lemaisa is normally consumed in its raw state, so that means in the raw state it gets a hadama, and the cooked state will get a shahakol. Conversely, any item that is normally cooked in its raw state, in its raw state will get a shahakol, and in its cooked state gets hadama. Or in other words, to say it simply, vegetables get hadama when consumed in the normative way. If the normative way is raw, great. If the normative way is cooked. And I would say, of course, one can make the cogent argument, at least contemporarily, that our eating habits is a lot of vegetables are what? Consumed both ways, which is why many times we'll end up making a hadama, whether the vegetable is cooked, whether the vegetable is not, or consumed raw. So, Darash Rav Nachman Shem Rabbeinu, Umanu Shmuel. I suppose this is this. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbeinu. Which Rabbeinu are we talking about? Shmuel. Shlakus mevarchan alei brei pri adama. Uncooked vegetables make a brei pri adama. V'chavireinu hayar de Eretz Yisrael. And our friends who have come down from Eretz Yisrael, who is that to manu ula mished Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Shlakus mevarchan alei shakol niyabidvarom. Right, so Rabbi says again, another same idea, machlokis regarding cooked vegetables. V'ani omer, and Rabbi says, remember again, this is Rav Nachman saying, b'machlokis shnuya. I actually think that they're actually having a machlokes, that there's a fundamental dispute about the nature of cooked vegetables. Do cooked vegetables retain the identity of the original vegetable or not? Now, listen, interestingly enough, he sees this as part of a more general dispute regarding the impact of a cooking process on an item. When you cook something, does the item retain its original identity or not? Now, listen, this is fascinating. This sanya, here we go. Yotzin berakik hashar b'mavusha shaloni mutar emir. It's supposed to say matzah on Pesach. So emir holds that if you go out and you take a matzah and what? You soak it or you cook it, as long as the matzah did not dissolve, halacha l'maaseh, emir says, you can fulfill your obligation with this. In other words, so if you take, let's say, hear this, you take a matzah, you cook the matzah, and it's about with a liquid. You cook the matzah, so halacha lemaisa, as long as it did not dissolve, so it still retains its tzura, its form as matzah. Ultimately, again, halacha lamaisa yugur. Look at Rashi. Yotzim berokei gashar b'mayim aydi achilas matza shal mitzvah v'karina be'lechem oni. That's right, Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, yotzim berokei kashar v'lo b'mvush. Rabbi Yossi says, halacha lamaisa, if you soaked the matzah, you could still be yotzi as long as it did not dissolve. But halacha lamaisa, aval lo b'mvushal afa pi shaloni muach. I will say, but if you cook the matzah, you can no longer use that as matzah. Now, I will say, now what's the logic over here? Because Rabbi Yossi will say, once you cook it, Rashi says, it's no longer called lechem. Once you subject something to a cooking process, it loses its original identity. So the Gemara wants to suggest that, Rabbi Yossi is not just talking about legabe matzah, but Rabbi Yossi is saying in general, whenever you cook something, the act of cooking causes an item to lose its identity. Mm-hmm. So, say, so therefore, again, the Gemara wants to suggest that Rabbi Yossi by matzah would say the same thing by what? Same thing by what? By cooked vegetables. That once you go and you take a vegetable and you cook it, Rabbi Yossi say, what is it? What is it? I don't know what it is, but I can tell you what it's not. What is no longer a vegetable? What is it? Mush, right? Whatever it is, something different. I would say, and therefore, again, the cooked vegetable will not get a Rabbi Adama. The original Gemara says, no, wrong, bad comparison. Velohi. Not true. Everyone holds it will say that cooked vegetables are still cooked vegetables and therefore still get a Rabbi Adama. By matzah is different, I will say. Because matzah, it's not enough that it look like matzah, but it also must what? Taste like matzah. And everyone knows once you cook matzah, it no longer tastes like matzah. That's the issue over here. But by cooked vegetables, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that if you cook a vegetable, it's the vegetable still gets adama. However, but by cooked vegetables, Rabbi Yossi moda. Even Rabbi Yossi would agree that halacha lamaisa is still has the status of a vegetable and therefore still gets a adama. I'm Rabbi Chibar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shlokos mevarchen alein brei adama. So we'll say similarly again. You have Rabbi Chibar Abba saying Rabbi Yochanan. Shlokos cooked vegetables still get a brei adama. For Rabbi Yomim bar Yefes, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shlokos mevarchen shakol niyebidvaro. And we'll say another opinion. No cooked vegetables. He had a shackle. Amrav Nachem Bar Yitzchak Kava Ula. So we'll say, so remember again. So it's just so you understand what's happening over here. So you have Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes saying that you have that cooked vegetables ultimately again get a shackle. Rav Nachem Bar Yitzchak comes along and says, Ula was the first one who mentioned this idea of cooked vegetables getting a shackle. So Rav Nachem Bar Yitzchak suggests that he says, Kava Ula l'shabeshte ki Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes. Ula reinforced his mistake because of the mistaken ruling of Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes. Right, that halacha lemaisa Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes said a wrong ruling. Ula reinforced that ruling. Tali barab zera. V'chima inyan Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes eitz Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So we'll say, how can you compare? It's actually very interesting. So how can you compare the rulings of Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba? Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba dayik v'gamar shmaiti me Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. First of all, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, everything he learned from Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe. Not only that, Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, lo dayek, Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, unfortunately, was not always so careful in the transmission of his rulings. Va'od, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, kotlasin yomin mahadr tamudei kamid Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. Every 30 days, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba would go ahead and review all of his teachings in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes lo mahader. Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes did not chazer as much. Vaod bar min din ubar min din dahu turmisa. Furthermore, again, aside from all of this, aside from everything else, I must say. So, first of all, the Gemara just pointing out that when you have a ruling by Rabbi Chiya Bar Abin versus Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abin's rulings are much clearer and much more decisive because they come from and were reviewed in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. Furthermore, again, there's this other case. Dahu turmisa the shalkile sheva zimnin. I must say there was this turmisa. Turmisa is a type of lentil, right? So we're going to discuss this. That was cooked 7 times. So apparently the turmisa bean, right, can only be consumed after it's cooked multiple times. So the shakile shivas in the v'kdera, va'achli le bikinuach su'uda. And they went ahead and so there was this turmisa bean that was cooked 7 times and ultimately, again, was served for dessert. Turmisa for dessert is delicious. So what I said, the Gemara says, asu shal Rabbi Yochanan. They asked Rabbi Yochanan, what's the bracha? Va'amar lehu? Mevarchin alei brei pri adama. You make a bracha brei pri adama on this cooked turmisa bean. So we'll say, see from here that what? something that is cooked, even multiple times, still retains its original identity. Ani ra'isis Rabbi Yochanan, Aisa Rabbi Yochanan, Sha'achal Zayis Maliach. He ate a salted olive, Ubarich Alav Tchila Vasov, and he made a bracha before and afterwards. I Amrit Bishlama Shlakos B'Mosayu Kaimi. See, if you say that even cooked vegetables retain their identity, B'Tchila Mavarich Alei Brei Prei Eitz. So it means that before he ate it, he said Brei Prei Eitz. So Lebasov Mavarich Alav Bracha Achlas Me'en Shalosh. And after he ate it, he made an Ala Eitz. But if you say that cooked vegetables no longer retain their identity, then I understand if you made a bracha before, that can be a shakol. But what's the bracha that he made at the end? To which the Gemara says, well, maybe Dilma Borei Nefashos Rabos Vechasronon Al Komash Shebara. Maybe the after bracha that he made was Borei Nefashos Rabos. So we'll stop over here for today. But again, so just to understand, we're leaving off still with the Machlokas. Still with the Machlokas, ultimately, what is the status of cooked vegetables? So on one hand, we have Ula, Rav Chir, Rav Binyan Bar Yefes telling me that cooked vegetables are a shahakol, do not retain their original identity. Rav Chiya Bar Avin and Rav Yochanan ultimately again understanding that halacha lemaisa it is still a brei pri adama. The entire matter is still wrapped up in machlokes. Don't eat any cooked vegetables today. So avoid that today. Only raw vegetables today. Emir Tzashem resolution tomorrow. Ari, thank you. Thank you. On what? Fried matzah? Like matzah bread. Hamotzi. Yeah.